In 2026, 3CR is celebrating 50 years on air.
Coming up is a podcast brought to you by the dedicated and diverse volunteers at 3CR. Just a quick message before you get there. For the month of June, we're asking listeners to donate to the station to help keep us going. We rely on the generous donations of the community to survive. Go to 3cr.org.au/donate and show your support for community-owned and community-run media. Thanks for your support and happy listening.
Slavery is back.
Welcome to a place where private business profit from a captive labour force, yet pennies are spent on medical services to a population in which the Indigenous, the poor and the mentally ill are overrepresented. Where isolation, humiliation and degradation are facts of life. Welcome to prison.
It depends who's telling the story, I suppose. The prisoners would have one view, the people who work in the prison system would have another, and I think it's up to people to decide where the truth is.
Give government propaganda and the media spin doctors the flick. And check out Doin' Time for news, views and tunes on prison issues from Guantanamo Bay to Christmas Island to prisons and detention centres everywhere. Every Monday at 4pm on your community radio 3CR.
We are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Doin' Time Show. This is 3CR Community Radio, 855am on the dial, streaming live on www.3cr.org.au. And a warning that this episode of Doin' Time contains audio images of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who have died and graphic discussion of deaths in custody and the name of a First Nations person who has passed away. Joining me on this week's show, I'm going to be having some very special guests. A couple of weeks ago, I interviewed Madika Penrith, who is the beautiful granddaughter of Ray Jackson, and she and her partner and various other people are opening up a special exhibition for her grandfather. And so I'm going to be speaking now today as a follow-up because I played a very special archival piece from the Doin' Time show for many years ago as part of special programming in June leading up to the 50-year celebration for 3CR's birthday on Saturday. I played a special piece with Uncle Ray talking about deaths in custody, and I played it last week and I played part of it the week before. And unfortunately, Madika couldn't be there, but we've been trying to get her on the show, and I'm really looking forward to speaking to her and Sam and the others. And we're going to be talking about a special exhibition. So let me introduce who's coming on. So it's Madika Penrick, who's the granddaughter of Ray, Sev Henry, I hope I've got this right, from the Numbers Gallery, and Sam, who is the partner of Madika. Speaking about that, we'll speak about it more in detail, but I'll just introduce the rest of the people that are coming onto the show. So after that, we've got Brett Collins from Justice Action to talk about computers in cells for prisoners, and he's going to be speaking about a conference called CrimCon 2026, which is a gathering built by and for criminalised, formerly incarcerated people, grounded in the belief that the people most impacted by prisons, policing and punishment are not just participants in these conversations, but leaders, theorists, artists and organisers in their own right. So, yeah, I interviewed Tabitha Lean, who is a First Nations activist, about this some weeks ago now. So it's interesting that we're going to be making this very important link, speaking with Brett Collins. After that, I'll speak to David Glantz from the Refugee Action Collective. He was speaking to me last week on the Radiothon show, which we have raised over $800. We've got about $121 left to raise of the $1,000 that I'm meant to be raising for the Doin' Time show. So please dig deep. Call now, 29th of June, before tax time. You can get a $2 and over taxation tax break, or whatever it's called. You put it in your tax. 9419 8377. Please call, as prisoners do not have bank accounts and we do need money for 3CR to keep us on air for another year. So with David Glantz, we're going to be speaking with him about a protest outside of meeting of Melbourne City Council in protest at the council's cancellation of a peaceful discussion forum. So Yeah, hopefully I've got all of this, all of it correctly. So again, we'll be interviewing now Madika, Sam, Henry Jones from Numbers Gallery. And if I've missed anybody out, tell me. Opening this July, Ray Jackson and Penrith Myers Archive presents more than 50 original posters from the archive of Wiradjuri activist Ray Jackson, 1941 to 2015. Help me, guys. This is Marissa. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, so I was just, is that Madika?
Yeah, this is Madika, and I'm here with Sam Myers from Penrith Myers Archive and Seb Henry Jones from Numbers Gallery.
Oh, thank you, Seb. I'm sorry if I missed you out.
Oh, no, it's a complicated name. There's so much going on there.
It really, my name's worse. So for so for five decades, Ray Jackson dedicated his life to the pursuit of justice through grassroots organising, and he's a committed socialist, internationalist, trade unionist and upholder of Indigenous governance. Madika and all of you, can you start off, Madika, by talking about the exhibition?
So the exhibition is opening this Saturday, the 4th of July, 6 till 8 p.m. It's being run out of Numbers Gallery in Potts Point, 8 Kellett Street, Potts Point. So we're actually just installing today, but we've got about 50 posters from Pops Archive that we're putting on display, kind of shows a lot of different, there's like lots of different themes. So there's like queer rights, First Nations death in custody. We have a few posters from the demonstration from 1988, the bicentenary, as well as a lot of kind of like South American political works and Palestine as well, of course. So, yeah, it's like a really big mixed bag of different issues that I think are a really good representation of Pop. And, you know, the best way to kind of honour him is through his activism, and although I suppose he's most well known for his death in custody work, like he really was very passionate about lots of different things. And so we've tried to kind of pick the best posters. I think this is about maybe half the collection. So yeah, it's very cool, very eclectic, salon hang kind of vibe, and very fun. You know, I think everyone that comes here will be able to relate to something, I hope.
That's beautiful. And Sam and Seb, are there to help as well?
Yeah, so Sam and I worked together under Penrith Myers Archive, so Sam Myers, Madika Penrith. And a lot of our work is about archival materials. So, you know, coming from a family of archivists, it seemed like it was kind of the right time to bring out Pop's archive. And I've known Steb and Harrison and Emma, who run Numbers Gallery, for a long time, and we've kind of always bonded around Sydney issues in particular, and so it all kind of came together really well. For this particular exhibition, it made a lot of sense for us to work together to get this up.
So you all do other exhibitions as well, though, right?
Yeah. So the gallery's been running. I might let Steb talk about Numbers a bit.
Before we do that, though, and I'm happy to do that, but before we do that, I just wanted to just get a little bit more of an idea of what these posters are. So with these posters, they offer a record of the social and political issues that shaped your granddad's activism, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think the posters span social justice history from about the 70s up until the, 2010s, before he passed away. So it was a collection that he kind of had displayed in his house for a long time. I don't know if you ever made it to his house, but there was just kind of things everywhere. And after he passed away, I inherited a bunch of boxes of these posters that they had held onto. And, yeah, it's, like, a really I suppose, yeah, he just must have been collecting for such a long time and from various groups that he was affiliated with. And so most of the posters are promo posters that would have been put up in the streets, like call to actions for these different events that were happening, whether it was like film screenings or like sit-in protests or just various rallies. It's kind of lots of different advertisement around that.
So it's really also like a link to his trade unionism as well, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got a few things to do with like the Maritime Union and a few other Sydney unions. We have stuff from like the TUIs during their protests, union posters and just various other things, kind of advertising unions and encouraging people to join their union. So yeah, there's a few different ones.
He would be so happy to know that his granddaughter and her partner and friends are doing this, because the collection highlights, as you say in the media release, the long-standing connections between Aboriginal movements for justice.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, when we talk about First Nations rights and things like that, we can very easily relate that to other social issues coming from overseas, or you know, the history of unions and Aboriginal struggle coming out of like Waterloo and Redfern in the 80s, 70s. I think it's a really nice way to tie all those things together.
So the posters trace a tradition of collective action, solidarity and resistance.
Yes.
That's perfect. I'm so glad that you're doing this. So you wanted Sam and also to talk about the gallery as well?
Yeah, well, I think I'm working with my friend Seb, who I have here, and some other friends of ours, Harrison and Emma, and they run the gallery. Yeah, and also a pretty interested in Sydney history and political history. So I thought it might be good for Seb to maybe talk a bit about the gallery itself.
Go for it.
Hey, this is Seb here.
Cool.
Yeah, so the gallery's in King's Cross. We started maybe in December. We've had like a series of exhibitions that go for about a month each. As we were installing today, one, like a member of the public came in who's observed the shows that we've done over the last few months, and she made the comment that it seems like we're very interested in social history. And I've never actually described the work that we do in that way, but it was nice hearing from someone else that that actually is like a very big interest of ours. So an exhibition we had 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, was about like a photographic collection of Newtown in 1983. It was made by Sydney College of the Arts students, and it was really interesting to have a conversation around like how Newtown has changed since that time, how like education at university has changed since that time, and how universities themselves have changed. With this exhibition, I think there is a lot that we can learn about the past, like this period of time in Australia and Sydney's political history, like 70s and 80s, to take with us today.
Fantastic. It's really interesting because, you know, for me, it's been a challenging thing organising this show, because I'm also really Miss Ray as well. And I understand the importance of archival stuff, because 3CR, our radio station, it's the 50th birthday and we're delving into all the archives, so it's all interconnected, isn't it?
It is always connected. We were talking just before about how, like, when we're in the room, it feels like we're time travelling.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many different causes, so many, like, places that you can travel to when you're standing in the room. You look at all the posters. It's interesting, like, I'm currently looking at a poster. I don't know, it looks like from the design that it's from the 90s, but it's about stopping Pauline Hanson.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
History repeats itself.
Well, we don't want a monoculture, do we?
No, we don't. We don't want a monoculture. But there's so much variety here in the show.
There really is. Anyone, we've got a really tight show today, unfortunately, but is there anyone else want to make any comments?
Yeah, we can pass it over to Sam.
Okay.
Yeah, to speak about the show.
First, before we do that, what location if people are in Sydney and they want to see the exhibition?
Oh, is it on the edge of King's Cross and Potts Point?
Or? Yeah, King's Cross, near the station, it's 8 Kellett Street.
Okay. All right, so let's hand over to Sam quickly. Do you want to say a few words, Sam?
Yeah, I suppose, like, what's really exciting for me about this show is that where there's a lot of people involved in these movements today, and it's really exciting for them to, like, build a context for their own activism or their own work or their own purpose, and to see people who've come before them and how that they can build a context for their own life. And so, yeah, that's what's really exciting for me, I suppose.
Sam.
Yeah.
And what are the dates of the exhibition?
The 4th of July to the 26th of July.
Oh, there's plenty of time. So I can have you all back on towards the end of the exhibition to see how it's going.
Yeah, for sure.
Could I, Madika?
Yeah, that'd be sick.
I'd love that. I mean, because I know, Madika, you had to go to the dentist and then lots of things are going on. Really packed show today. So I'm going to have to go now in a minute because I've got Brett Collins from Justice Action wants to talk. Have you known Brett Collins? You probably do, don't you, Madika?
I don't think
so. I'll talk to you about the exhibition because he's also in New South Wales. You might want to attend. He was also a friend of your granddad's as well.
Yeah. Pops. Well, I think that's the thing, you know, anyone based in New South Wales that's coming through the show and if hear about it, I'd love them to come down and, you know, there might be an opportunity just to say something if people feel comfortable. Because, it's important not to, like, kind of live in a bubble, and I would like to have lots of Pops friends, whether I remember them or not, come down, and maybe they might have some stories to share about it as well.
And that's been a big part of the show that Numbers Gallery that particularly has contributed. He's done a lot of work to invite people who have designed the posters and people from all the unions through time. So we're really excited to have, like, different generations of the struggle all here in the same place together, especially on the opening. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. So let's give a shout-out to Ray, because I'm sure he's listening from wherever he is. May he rest in peace in his lands. And I'm so glad that all of you are doing the exhibition. It's so wonderful. And Madika, I'm hoping we can do have another yarn pretty soon.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks so much for having us all on.
It's so lovely to have you on, and best of luck with the exhibition.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.
And that was Madika Penrith and her partner Sam looking at an exhibition that's happening in Sydney for Ray Jackson, looking at all his beautiful posters that she inherited and tracing back the history, his activist history. And so it's a Penrith Myers archive if anyone's interested in going. I'm going to be speaking pretty soon with Brett Collins from Justice Action, but we'll go into an announcement first.
Every day, people in prisons across Australia are subjected to strip searching. It is an unnecessary, degrading, and deeply harmful practice that must end. It involves a person literally being stripped of their dignity, forced to remove their clothing for their bodies to be inspected by prison guards, being forced to submit to humiliating requests like bending, squatting, and spreading their legs. In many prisons, people are subjected to this repeatedly and routinely. Children as young as 10 years old are being forced to remove their clothes and have their bodies inspected by adults. We're calling on the federal government to stop state-sanctioned violence by ending the routine, unregulated use of strip searching in prisons across Australia. Go to endstripsearching.com. Together, we can demand a system that upholds dignity, safety, and human rights. Fig Jam is a 3CR supporter.
You're listening to the Do and Time Show, 3CR Community Radio. And we're going to be speaking now with Brett Collins from Justice Action. Justice Action is an extremely important resource for prisoners. Hello, Brett. Welcome.
Yes, g'day, Musa.
Sorry to be late. I don't know if you heard, but I was talking to Madika Penrith granddaughter of Ray Jackson about an exhibition that's happening in Sydney at the moment.
Very exciting. Ray's a brother. He was the brother. We spent so many decades, actually. And, Marissa, I think you were probably up here at the time that Ray was working busily in the Aboriginal Deaths in Custody Watch meeting and all the others. He was the stalwart and behind the work.
Absolutely. I was there for some of that. I was covering a trial over there with TJ. TJ Hickey's relatives.
Of course.
Were being raided by the police. But, yeah, it's... Get down to the exhibition if you can, Brett. I know you're doing a lot of stuff.
Look, it sounds amazing, actually. And when I hear the family pursuing all these history, that's wonderful. I think he was a wonderful man and a bit of a symbol to all of us, too, you know, that there's people have gone before us and we stand on their shoulders. And it's a bit of an obligation to us all to do better.
Absolutely. And, in fact, let's talk about what's happening with Justice Action.
Okay, so much talk. I thought I'd first give a big call out to our mate, Chris Spins, who rang through this morning. It's nice to have the reach down into Victoria and hear our brothers and our sisters out there listening to the program. It's wonderful. That's the community for which we're working. You know, that's really good, yes.
That's really interesting because, you know, Brett, when I was talking to you this morning, I was actually having a coffee and I gave you a call and just to let listeners know, and it was so wonderful because I think Chris rang from prison, didn't he, from Darwin?
Yes, that's right, from Darwin. Now, in the depths of Darwin. Darwin, yes.
Yeah, Darwin. From Darwin prison.
Yes, that's right.
So he got cut off, didn't he? But he was talking about Mouse. Did a lot of work for the Doin' Time show. I think it was called a different name back then. So let's remember Mouse. But thank you for letting me talk to him, actually, Chris.
Brett. Yeah. No, it's wonderful. Look, I just, you know, people inside and reaching out is really, you know, that keeps us really in close contact. And we have all these letters from people and, you know, makes sure that, you know, we're up to date with what's happening. And also we get a bit of a boost every time I hear the voices too, because we should never forget how many people there are. About 44,000 actually people throughout Australia and the prisons at the moment and about 850 children in detention. You know, that's a big team, and so just reaching a few of them and having their voices come out to us is enough to keep us working hard as we can.
Absolutely, and just so you know, Brett, and also for the benefit of listeners, it's 3CR's birthday, so we're having a 50-year celebration on Saturday from 11 till 4 at Collingwood Town Hall. And what we're doing, Brett, is we're digging into the archives from 1976 onwards, and each week in June there's been special programming looking at archival material. And it's been amazing, some of the material that we've been looking at. So that's why I was so touched when Chris was called you from Barwon Prison, then you put me through to Chris. And around 3CR's birthday, he was talking about Mouse, who was in the Doin' Time show many years ago and who passed away, and Chris happened to mention Mouse's name. You see how it's all connected?
Yes, absolutely, and he was a classic as well. A big beard, and he used to be he was just he was a little man, Mouse, you know, a little man with a group of people, two or three people around him as well, and he was a stalwart. You know, he was always there, and whenever we came down to Melbourne, whenever we were doing major campaigns that are national in any sort of way, you know, he would be engaged, and he'd be there walking with us or protesting with us. You know, he was marvellous. So I agree with you. You know, great to have that history coming out of Chris Spins.
It's quite amazing. And in fact, you know, we've got $1,000 to raise for the Doin' Time show, and there's $121 left that I have to raise. So please, listeners, dig deep, 94198377. I know Radiothon's over, but it's not too late to donate. Yeah, it's crazy. Brett, can you talk to us about the CrimCon 2026 conference that you were at,
absolutely,
in Sydney?
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're in Adelaide. We went down to Adelaide.
Running.
Yes. It was look really quite special, actually. You know, really strong people, people who, in fact, most of the people, I think all the people actually were had spent time in jail. So it was great to have people coming out. And they had the alternative media, right? So people like Daniel Van Zetten and Tabitha Eileen people like Debbie Kilroy. These are stalwarts and people who have been time in jail and then continuing afterwards to link across to also to other people as well. So they're publishing material, they're doing a whole lot of stuff. They really are, and podcasts and getting their voices out. But I think just sort of that idea about reclaiming mainstream access to the media, talking with a sense of pride, and this idea of resisting, not accepting the situation as it stands. So it's very easy for people in prison to be sort of marginalised and afterwards don't get a job and you don't get all that sort of stuff as well. So these were conversations amongst people who are affected by having been in prison and thinking about ways in which that can be changed. And they're just linking together and telling their stories and giving a sense of purpose to others. It was really valuable, actually, really was. Then there's poetry, there's music, there were panels discussing, what it was like, what happened as a kid, going into institutions and then afterwards, what happened, what followed, and a sense of camaraderie, too, actually. They're people who hadn't seen each other for years and years, who then turned up, a lovely Aboriginal man whom I haven't seen for 40 years. There he was, beautiful, beautiful man, and he was contributing with the greatest strength. I was so pleased, and then he brought with him a professor who was actually a very strong man with dealing with miscarriages of justice. Very strong people, and all really wanting to fight, wanting to contribute, wanted to to make it a good useful conference. So it was the first of the RAD CrimCon. CrimCon conference.
That's
and
right.
Beautiful, really beautiful, lovely contribution. I think there'll be other ones to follow behind that as well. Bringing people together and inspiring each other, because the ideas are things that people pick up and they start to feel that they're more than just an individual, more than somebody who's just tagged by something they've done which they probably preferred not to have done or were pushed into a position to have to do it. But we really went down there also not just for the conference. There were two conferences, but not just for the conference. We were down there to talk to the minister for South Australian prisons, and also to the commissioner, because we wanted to make sure that they were listening. And they couldn't avoid some of the stuff that they were trying to push.
And what happened with the minister?
We'd been there about 3 years beforehand and talked to the previous minister. They've had a series of ministers, one behind the other. I think it's a bit of not a really successful place to be in the ministry. But Michael Brown, his secretary accepted the invitation. I wasn't coming in as Justice Action. In fact, I was going in as a spokesperson for the Community Justice Coalition. Much more respectable, carrying a message from the president of the Community Justice Coalition, a guy called the Honourable, right, John Dowd, AOKC, and I came with his authority, and I said to the secretary, we're here to carry some message, some information that affects South Australian prisoners, that it's essential that we have a chance to bring it before him to make sure that he understands that there's no reason why the 3,400 prisoners in South Australia should not have access to the internet. They should have access to computers in their cells, a laptop, and access to education, counselling, and things in their cells. They should have that, because now that is available. It's accepted that there's no longer a security problem, and that this is to the benefit of everyone. And that the domestic violence counselling they're always talking about, how bad domestic violence is out in the community. The counselling for the people who are actually arrested is absolutely essential. We've got all these people in South Australia, the worst of all, and almost half of the people in South Australian prisons are there on remand, and they have this, I think that's 360,000 call-outs by the police, right, for domestic violence offences. So I have an enormous avalanche of complaints and people being dragged into the cells and no counselling using the computers that should be in the cells. So
basically what you're saying is that's a very powerful message, Brett, sorry to interrupt, because you're sending a message that prisoners do need to be using external resources like counselling and computers in cells. And in fact, when we were talking to Chris this morning, when he rang from Barwon Prison, was he ringing via WhatsApp or was it more the prison calls?
It was a prison call, but he has a computer in his cell. I mean, he's the sort of guy who, if he didn't have something to do, he'd make sure there was something to do. He's got 14 years.
He's got computers in cells, that's good. He's getting out soon, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Well, he's coming within a few months, and they're yet to consider his parole, though. I mean, the trouble about Chris is that he's not, the authorities don't like him very much. So it may not be an easy out, but let's hope
it is. So.
Always an optimist, and he's got friends outside, including ourselves. So he's got a place to go. He's got a lovely woman, and so I would think that he has a good chance, and he always has a smile on his face, regardless.
In case Chris is listening, and even if he's not, we can maybe get him the podcast somehow. Let's send out a cheerio to Chris from Brett Collins and Marissa.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
And the 3CR
wonderful
team.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's great. So a couple of concluding comments then Brett. So basically this is all about lived experience, isn't it? It's all about lived experience.
Yeah.
Tabitha Lean is an amazing Aboriginal activist who's leading a lot of this work at that conference that you went to. Interestingly, another connection we interviewed her a couple of weeks ago.
Ah, good.
So
okay,
it's all interconnected, Brett, isn't it?
Of course it is. And also just a sense of community is what it's about as well. People with lived experience have come through it and then at the end of it have a contribution to make. And the other thing we should never forget is that how much money is being spent on the industry of prisons. I mean, there's room there for thousands of people to actually give assistance to each other. So we shouldn't forget how much money is being spent in the area. And that money really is ours, community money, right? It should be spent looking after getting housing, getting a whole lot of good stuff, proper support and people listening and talking to each other, that sort of stuff. So there's definitely there's room to work together and we feel very positive about the situation.
Absolutely, Brett. And one last question: why do you think that listeners should be donating to the Do and Time show for Radiothon?
Oh, absolutely essential to have people's voices out there to have you guys are you're the community expression, to have a program which is this continuous going right back to Mouse and getting forward into the future, absolutely essential. So we are so pleased to have your program there and we give full support to it, very pleased, and thank you so much for the contribution, Marissa.
And thank you for your beautiful contribution, Brett. You've been a very special friend of myself and the show for a really long time.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
We'll talk soon.
Okay, all the best.
Thanks,
okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was Brett Collins from Justice Action, speaking about a number of issues, about prisoners having counselling and external computers in cells, and looking about a conference that he attended. We're going to be speaking very soon with David Glance from the Refugee Action Collective. He wears a number of hats. We'll talk to him very soon.
Melbourne Documentary Film Festival returns to Cinema Nova from July 7 with Documentaries Reimagined. Warm up the cold winter days with an eclectic program of local and international documentaries from independent and emerging talents. Proudly ranked among Film Freeway's top 100 festivals worldwide for 11 consecutive years, Melbourne Documentary Film Festival delivers stories that stay with you long after the credits roll. Screening from July 7 for a limited time at Cinema Nova, 380 Lygon Street, Carlton. 3CR sponsor.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio Do and Time and the Do and Time Show. Hands off free speech. no to censorship and repression. And there's an anti-Zionism Australia is calling a protest outside a meeting of Melbourne City Council in protest at the council's cancellation of a peaceful discussion forum. The protest will take place on Tuesday, the 30th of June, 5 p.m. at the Town Hall, Swanson Street. And basically I'll be speaking with David Glantz about this, who's representative of this protest and is also from the Refugee Action Collective. Hello, David. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Marissa. How are you?
A bit frazzled, to be honest. There's just too much going on. There's too many things to cover. And it's a big frustration because I just feel like community radio in some ways cannot look at everything a lot of the time, and mainstream media is no help. And then with One Nation Party as well rising, what are we going to do now?
Well, I think your program and other programs like it on 3CR help fill some of the gaps. So don't beat yourself up. Without you, there'd be much less variety of views on the air.
Wow, there's some really fantastic array of speakers at this protest tomorrow. Can you talk about the protest and the background to it and who the speakers are?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so this protest has been called by Anti-Zionism Australia. It's a non-denominational group. It was founded primarily by Jews, some Israeli, some Australian, but it's open to everybody. We've been running a seminar series on Zionism, different aspects of Zionism, and last week was going to be the final one in the series. It was going to be on Christian Zionism, and it was going to be on Sunday afternoon at the Kathleen Sime Library in Carlton. On Friday night, after close of business, we got notification that our booking had been cancelled, supposedly over safety concerns. Now, we have no idea what those safety concerns are. It was a peaceful discussion forum. There had been six previous ones. There had been no incidents. But suddenly, we find ourselves without a venue. And I think it's fairly obvious that somebody somewhere who is a supporter of Israel put in a complaint to the city council and they folded like a cheap suit. They cancelled us without discussion, without a right of reply, without giving us the option of providing security on the venue. That was it. We were out. And we think that's just unacceptable, and that's why we're organising the protest tomorrow night outside the town hall.
So, okay, so the event, they're saying then that the event is no longer suitable to proceed at this time due to safety and security concerns. How can that be? What was the event about?
Well, the event was about Christian Zionism. So we'd run a series of seminars on different aspects of Zionism, current and historical, and this was the final one. And Christian Zionism, because the majority of people who support the idea of a state of Israel in Palestine are actually not Jewish, they're Christian. And the seminar was about describing how a section of the Christian community had become such full-on supporters of Zionism and Israel today. It's a fascinating lecture. The good news was that we were able to get a venue, Coburg Library, at very short notice, and we actually had 60 people at the event. It was our biggest one of the series. We don't know what that security issue was. The Melbourne City Council told us no more than that. And I think it's pretty obvious reading between the lines, because we know that there's been all sorts of pattern of censorship, not just about groups, but also individuals, people like Randa Abdel Fattah, all sorts of actions against Palestinian voices, Jason Gillam, the musician with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. It's obvious that somebody who is pro-Israel has rung up the council at senior level. It could have been the Lord Mayor, it could have been the CEO, and said, this makes Jews unsafe. Well, it's bizarre. The speaker was Jewish. The core organisers of the event were Jewish. We certainly didn't feel unsafe. And instead of coming to us and saying, well, we've received a concern, let's talk about what we can do about it, we're simply deprived of a venue. And it's a small act of repression in the big scheme of things, and compared to what the Palestinians are experiencing, it's absolutely nothing. But it's the tip of a very big iceberg, and so we've decided to draw a line and call out the council over its actions. Now, in terms of speakers, yeah, as you say, we've got a great lineup of speakers. So one of the speakers will be Veronica Sherman. She was actually the person who gave the lecture on Christian Zionism, and she'll be talking more broadly tomorrow night about the attempts by supporters of Israel to use local government as a weapon against the Palestine movement. We'll have Violet Coco speaking. Violet is a well-known long-term activist, and she was involved in the flotilla to Gaza a few weeks ago, was arrested and abused by Israelis. So we're very pleased to hear from her. We will have Natalie Farah speaking. Natalie is at the centre of organising against Pine Gap, the spy base in the Northern Territory, and she'll be talking about that. Hannah Thomas, who was previously a Greens candidate, was attacked by the police on a demonstration in Sydney and suffered, thankfully repairable, but suffered eye damage with police violence. She'll be speaking, and then I'll be speaking on behalf of Anti-Zionism Australia. And the rally is supported by Refugee Action Collective, Free Palestine Melbourne, Defend Dissent Coalition, and local pro-Palestine groups. So I'd encourage people to come down to the town hall tomorrow at 5 o'clock and join us in speaking out for free speech for Palestine, because it seems like free speech is very selective in this country.
It's pretty obvious why this forum was cancelled. I mean, Veronica is a Jewish woman and a former Israeli soldier. You know, the public library cancelled her talk over potential protest activity, yet the threats she received come from Zionists, not Palestinians.
Unfortunately, that's true, and I think pretty much any anti-Zionist Jew who's spoken out publicly in support of Palestine, against the genocide, against apartheid, has copped abuse. We get told we're not real Jews. We get told we're capos, and the capos were the Jews who acted as the police force inside.
Capos? That is a horrible thing to say.
Yeah.
Because that is despicable.
The capos were the Jewish police who acted for the Nazis inside concentration camps and ghettos. It's quite common.
That is disgraceful.
Quite standard for anti-Zionist Jews to be called capos or not real Jews, because the supporters of Israel can't defend what Israel is doing.
Oh, my God.
So instead of playing the ball, they play the person.
David, it beggars belief, really. I mean, the cancellation was a blatant act, wasn't it, of censorship. And there's a quote here in the media release, which is an excellent media release from AZA co-founder Karen Tova. Did you want to talk about that?
Karen Tova Rubinstein, her name is, yeah. Well, I mean, she makes the point that this is speech apartheid, that supporters of Israel are being given a whole royal commission to go on about how hard done by they are. Let's be clear, there is anti-Semitism in our society. There's also Islamophobia and racism against indigenous people and migrants. But the Royal Commission is all about essentially doing down the Palestine movement, talking about the safety of those who support Israel. And here we are holding a peaceful seminar, and yet apparently we're not allowed to speak. So all it takes is a Zionist to ring up the council and say, I don't like this forum, or I might turn up and protest outside this forum, and they shut down the event.
But to call people capos like that, that's just... Oh, my God. I'm getting goosebumps at the back of my neck. My hair's standing up on end, David.
Well, my hair's standing up on end. It's a sign of how much they're losing the argument. Oh. I mean, my goodness, even Hegseth, the US Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, said the other day to Israel, essentially, I'm paraphrasing here, don't you get it? The whole world hates you. And so don't bite Donald Trump's hand because he's your last friend left. And I think that does, in a way, capture something that's happened after nearly 3 years of genocide. Israel is a pariah state. It is, for many of us, a terror state. And the result is that the supporters of Israel, they can't justify the deliberate targeting of children in Gaza. They can't justify the deliberate targeting of journalists, the tens upon tens of thousands dead in the rubble. And by the way, this process is continuing in the West Bank. It's continuing in southern Lebanon. They can't justify it, so they have to attack the people who are standing up for human rights.
So the cancellation is just one part, isn't it, of a wave of repression facing those speaking up for Palestine and standing against Israeli genocide. Can you comment now, David, in conclusion, about One Nation Party and the part that it could play in all this, not just with Palestine, with everything?
Well, I mean, One Nation is a fervent supporter of Israel, not because they are opposed to anti-Semitism, but because they're opposed to Muslims. Let's be blunt. Many people on the far right around the world who are, if not anti-Semitic themselves, they certainly don't care about anti-Semitism. They support Israel because they want to bash Muslims. It's as blatant as that. And One Nation has a general agenda. I mean, I think this speech that Hansen gave at the press club was very indicative. Workers are overpaid. Workers are lazy. Bosses should be allowed to sack them. Women shouldn't be paid for parental leave. There should be a monoculture, which is code for a white Australia. So they're pushing a really horrible agenda on every front. The good news is the opinion poll in the Financial Review this morning recorded that that speech by Hansen has actually lost her a lot of support. Her personal standing collapsed by 10%, and One Nation has lost 2 or 3% of support in the polls. So I think there's a real space for an anti-racism movement to push back One Nation, and the Refugee Action Collective will be participating in that process.
Which is?
Building a broad-based anti-racism movement that can make tens of thousands of people who are currently thinking of voting One Nation reconsider. We know people are angry. We know the cost of living crisis is hurting. But One Nation wants us to be angry with our neighbour because they have a different skin colour or religion or country of origin. We should be angry with the billionaires.
Absolutely. And the mining companies.
Yeah, well, very often they're the same people, but especially when it comes to Gina Rinehart.
Well, she's a supporter, isn't she? Of One Nation?
Oh, she's 100% a supporter, and she runs a mining company. That's my point. Mm-hmm. She's a billionaire because she's running a mining company, and she's using her money to bankroll Hansen, who pretends to be the friend of the battlers. What a joke.
It is. So before we finish, Queensland and New South Wales have both passed legislation aimed at criminalising aspects of the Palestine movement. And the Royal Commission into Anti-Semitism has refused to hear from Palestinian and Jewish anti-Zionist voices. Can you comment on that?
Well, I think in the case of the Royal Commission, I've written an article about it elsewhere, and I've said it's a show trial with the Palestine movement in the dock. People like the Jewish Council of Australia was allowed to send a legal team, but the Loud Jew Collective was barred from speaking. The Palestinian organisations have been barred from speaking. And the witnesses from the pro-Israel wing of the Jewish community have been allowed to make wild and unsubstantiated statements that have not been challenged. And I think that what that tells you is the Royal Commission is in the business of coming up with recommendations to attack the Palestine movement. The Queensland government has already introduced legislation that makes it illegal to say from the river to the sea or globalise the intifada, those exact words. And dozens of people have now been arrested in Queensland. New South Wales, they tried to close down protests. They've had some problems implementing that law because people defied the law. And that's one of the things I think that Hannah Thomas will speak about tomorrow night at the protest outside the town hall.
We actually interviewed Violet Coco last week about her experiences on Gaza. And we both issued about three or four content warnings throughout that interview because it was just horrific what happened.
Oh, I see, atrocious. I mean, and remember, those people on the various boats of the flotilla were seized in international waters. Now, that's called piracy. Then what happened to them once they landed inside occupied Palestine was utterly horrific. But as many of them said, and I suspect all of them would agree, what they experienced was terrifically bad, and it's only a fraction of what the Palestinians are experiencing day by day. So if they're prepared to do that to foreigners, almost in front of the media, what are they doing to Palestinians behind closed doors?
An injury to one is an injury to all. No Absolute. One is safe.
Until we organise, and unless we organise.
Are you coming to our party on Saturday?
Remind me of the time, because I'm going to the rally for Pine Gap.
Oh, when's that? Which is
1:30 at Defence Plaza, which is 661 Bourke Street. There's a rally organised by the Close Pine Gap Alliance, I suppose, for want of a better term. There will be a rally there calling for the closure of Pine Gap and drawing attention to the convergence that will be taking place later next month. So what time's your party?
Okay, so our 3CR party, because we're turning 50, is this Saturday at the Town Hall, the Collingwood Town Hall, I should say.
Oh, yep.
From 11 till 4.
I will...
And there'll be food and a big birthday cake. There'll be all sorts of things and lots of stalls and it'll be really amazing. And you can even press a button and hear all the archival material.
Oh, fantastic. It sounds amazing. I will try to get there end. Can't be there earlier, I'm afraid.
Absolutely. And, you know, David, thank you so much for coming onto the program. It really is, it beggars belief, that capo thing, like that. That makes me sick to the stomach, if you want the truth. But, you know, rock up to that protest. Just announce those protest details again, please, David.
5 o'clock tomorrow night, Tuesday night, outside Melbourne Town Hall on Swanston Street.
Lovely to have you. Sending big hugs. Thanks a lot.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Marissa.
Thanks, David. Bye-bye. And that was David Glantz speaking about a protest that's happening on tomorrow, which is the 30th of June, which is actually the last day of the financial year. So if people donate today for the Doin' Time show and shows at 3CR, that means that you're going to be getting a tax deductible donation. You'll get something back from tax from $2 upwards. But you can still donate after that. It's not too late to donate. And, yeah, so rock up to that protest if you can. And we've already talked about those details. Oh. Not sure what is happening. We're having a few technical difficulties. But in the meantime, I may as well read out some of the donations as well that have come through, because I'm actually not able to play any music at the moment or play any announcements. So someone is going to come to my rescue very soon, but I'll just read out a donation from Meredith Butler, which is $20, and one from Patrick, which is $30. Thank you so much. And here's someone to rescue me. And so, yeah, thank you so much for donating to the Doin' Time Show, Meredith and Patrick. So much appreciated. And so our total at the moment is 879. And so that's pretty good, really, given that we have to raise $1,000. It's approximately 4:56, and I'm going to be out of here pretty soon, and hopefully going out with the song Black Fella, White Fella from the Rumpy Band. But in the meantime, just wanted to thank all our guests. In particular, wanted to thank Madika and her crew, looking at the poster exhibition, an archival exhibition with Ray Jackson, who's since passed away. And thank you to Brett Collins from Justice Action. And also thank you to David Glance. Rock up to that protest tomorrow, please, if you can, outside the town hall in the city at Swanson Street. Thank you so much. Stay tuned every day for every Monday for the Doin' Time Show from 4 to 5. Take care and take care of each other. Thanks a lot.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
Did you enjoy listening to that podcast? 3CR is a community radio station, and you, the listener, are a part of that community. Right now, it's our radiothon. We need you to pitch in with a few dollars to keep the station going. We can't do it without you. It's easy. Head to 3cr.org.au/donate. Your donations really matter.